All right, so now what we are doing is we need to move to the next topic that we have in our this particular chapter, that is identifying the social media sites that really bring in a factor of attraction to the audiences. So as we all know, audiences differ in age, audiences differ in their lifestyle choices, audiences differ whether they are from an urban setting, from a rural setting or a semi-urban setting. Audiences also differ according to the geographies. So this particular, type is audience, and the target is the one which suits our demographic requirements. So it's very important that we need to identify and create a liaison between the sites and the audience. So this is the critical connect which comes and makes the business successful in terms of the sales that happen indirectly from social media and directly from the selling sites. So many brands find that a specific content format appeals to their audience and explains their products in a more meaningful manner. As mentioned, let's say if there is a new ice cream being launched. Now, this particular ice cream being launched, probably you could take snapshots of the ice cream. You probably could see people enjoying the ice cream. You could have live reviews. Twitter would not help that much. At least that's what my experience has been or feeling. Has been Twitter would not, because Twitter is a microblog. Probably you could at the most have a celebrity that an endorse, but that would not happen that appealingly. Facebook to that matter, or Instagram would help. So would a WhatsApp, but LinkedIn would again not help. So you would need to actually distinguish the needs of the audience and how the message is spread. Similarly, if there is an HR convocation happening in Singapore, let us say. So for that, rather than Facebook or Twitter, probably LinkedIn would help more with people who would actually pay for the convocation through the LinkedIn links. They would also be endorsed by the advocates and the influencers on this site. So there's a saying in English which says different strokes for different folks, which also applies in this particular context. Now, brands have constant interactions going with their online audiences, and these discussions reveal vital. So, as marketers, what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes and ears open, our senses open. We need to actually be very alert. We need to listen to what is happening online. What signals are the ever-changing audiences, the dynamic audiences giving us, and where are the preferences shifted? If we understand this shift in the perspective, we probably could proactively engage audiences in a better fashion. So it's very important that we appeal to our target audiences. Hence, from this context, as I mentioned, the landscape is always changing. A key point is the critical example of Orkut. So many of you might not even have, some of you might have heard of Orkut, some of you might have not, but Orkut was an earlier version, or probably it was similar, the social media site similar to Facebook, which in fact gained in popularity from 2004 to 2007 to 2008, when Facebook took over. So audiences basically are pretty fickle. Fickle meaning that they have a tendency to shift towards a simpler version, a more robust or effective version, a more catchy version. So Orkut was in a way replaced by Facebook completely. So what we need to do is we need to be alert of the shifting preferences of the audiences. Thus, we need to be alert of the radical changes in the landscape. So new mediums are coming up on a daily basis. Certain players like StumbleUpon have completely closed down. There are some newer versions coming up. So we need to be aware of what is becoming obsolete and what is currently the most novel and fresh social media channel available for us. Thus, through consensus, through research, through surveys, through our own observations, it's seen that Facebook currently, on a contemporary basis, is still the biggest and most prominent globally trending social media site and is currently at the top of marketers' to-do list. So Facebook has been there since more than a decade now, and has actually grown in terms of volume as well as its quality. It offers several features which are conducive for marketing. It also offers several advantages and benefits to the audience to avail from marketing efforts. So Facebook has grown radically. Facebook is showing promise, and Facebook is not showing any signs of, you know, losing the steam currently. So it's highly recommended that your initial efforts go through Facebook. From an Indian scenario, Facebook tends or seems to be one of the most or the most popular platforms currently available, with no dearth of advertisements, promotions, brand building efforts. So ideally, this is a good point to start off with. Facebook has features for free as well as paid advertising, which can be availed by the marketers. So the key metrics should be followers on Facebook group and people who like interacting, and the face fan page. So Facebook has a kind of a viral effect, which is similar to YouTube, where the likes keep increasing, where people get more informed, and your visibility, the visibility of your brand, the image of the brand improves. So very important from the context of creating a target audience is the feature that is the Facebook group or the fan page. So every brand, small and large, should ideally have a fan page that needs to be created on Facebook. Well, it's a known fact that LinkedIn is the most popular global platform when it comes to business networking. Well, in today's date, what Facebook is to the social media through the social networking, LinkedIn is to the social media for business networking. So it is the business, you can say, equivalent of, in terms of popularity, I mean to say, of what Facebook is in terms of social needs of people. So you will not find, you know, many professionals today who do not have a profile on LinkedIn. So if you do not have a profile on LinkedIn, I would request you to go immediately on LinkedIn and create a profound profile, so that you know, if some people have not found employment, might do so. Some people might want better prospects, might do so. Professionals who are in the freelance field might also find assignments on a regular basis through this particular platform. Now, from the context of marketeers, it's also very important, because if you are going to run a symposium, if you have a conference, if you have any professional event which you need to conduct or organize, LinkedIn is the platform to be on. In fact, if you are also going to sponsor some events in order to capture more marketing or promotional elements, LinkedIn is the place to be on. The groups feature, in fact, many of us are completely aware of what LinkedIn, you know, features. It has a free as well as a paid feature. A part of the free feature is the groups feature of this platform, which allows people who represent those brands to join groups related to their industry. So if it's an auto enclave, automobile enclave, or a conclave, then you might see a BMW, an Audi, a Mercedes-Benz on a regular basis being a part of those particular symposiums, conferences, exhibitions. So your brand needs to be a part of those particular groups in order to connect with other people. So being a corporate trainer, I have in fact felt the significant need to be continuously active here, continuously in sync with people, receive a lot of calls on assignments. So this truly has been, you know, from the user end as well as from the end of a marketer, a wonderful platform to be on with several features free to use. So LinkedIn definitely is a very good way of creating a target audience for your product. So if you are launching some product which is an LMS product or which is an educational product, even LinkedIn could help you over there because of the people there. Another example which I'd shared for LinkedIn was the financial software. So if it's a group of CAs or finance experts from companies, your financial software application can also be sold and recommended on LinkedIn or through indirectly through LinkedIn. The next platform which we have discussed in a brief manner in the first chapter is the platform, the microblogging platform of Twitter. Twitter basically is a tweet or a bird which is tweeting out. So that's why they have chosen the bird as their particular, you know, small PT bird as their logo. And it's a lovely platform which is popular with a global audience, a young audience with celebrities mostly. The young audience follows celebrities. In India, as I told you, we've got tweets from sports celebrities like Sachin Tendulkar. We've got celebrities like Amitabh Bachchan who are constantly tweeting and others. And they have a humongous fan following. From the Indian context, although it is still not that explored, as I've just said, it's the domain of celebrities who tweet to their fans. But yes, if a celebrity is tweeting from the context of endorsing a product, like a Virat Kohli maybe tweeting a sports drink brand or a pair of shoes from upcoming shoes from Nike, which he has worn, then probably there is nothing more credible about the brand than a tweet from their favorite celebrity. So there will be a definite fan following for that. Well, a recent study outlines how brands basically can create that effectiveness, that power to use each network to connect with their prospects and existing clients. So ideally, this particular platform has that ability, that attraction factor to pull people towards it if done in a proper manner or a proper fashion. So now what we're going to discuss is four important strategies, as you can see in this particular diagram, which we shall enlist, as well as one by one have a detailed discussion about the same before we move ahead. Now these come under the strategies to enhance social media marketing for businesses. Now as we know, social media marketing has been growing. It has become mainstream and it's also contemporary now. So what do we do to maintain the momentum as well as create a larger momentum in terms of business, not just in terms of putting content on social media? The very first strategy speaks about simplicity and effectiveness. So it's very important to realize that social media works on the tenets or principles of simplicity. It's basically a transparent medium, it's a real-time medium, and it's a two-way and a one-to-many or a many-to-many medium, where a lot of online listening and conversations are happening at the same time. If you notice, social media consists majorly of pictures, videos, and words, and less of mathematical or any type of jargon, technical jargon. So that lends, so that is simplicity and effectiveness. And if these principles are continuously followed and maintained, brands are surely going to be successful. The next thing that we need to look at as a strategy is the need to use the power of questions and conversations. So ideally, brands should adopt a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach in order to gain reputation as well as maintain effectiveness online. So the idea here is to ask questions related to the functioning of their products if they are into product-based line. If the brand provides some services, for example, it's, let's say, a high-end washroom, or it's a high-end garage, it's a washing plant for cars. If it's a high-end, like only the top-end cars go there, and there is customized service provided, cleaning service. So if they have a certain presence, they have a website, they have a certain presence on social media, they need to actively ask questions on media as well to their customers. How was their experience? They could probably float a questionnaire on the social media or on their website to use the power of questions. So if there is any amendment which is needed in the next service, if there is any overcharging which has been done, all these queries should be resolved through the use of social media as well as their website and offline mechanisms. The next thing that we are going to look at is the element or the statement that categories determine purchases on the social media channels. So it's very important to create an element of segregation, to create a specific target base, which creates the required need for demographics and people to purchase their particular products from the brands. So we need to create a segmentation, a categorization of people, of the target audience, so that more people are converted from prospects, they're converted into paying customers. The last thing is difference in conversion rates on different channels. So this we have already discussed at length in this chapter, some bit in the previous chapter. So very important to do some analysis to check those particular platforms which are sending more traffic through the use of the links on the landing pages. Once people land, are they retained in their attention, in their focus, and eventually do they check out to the payment gateways? Do they make some purchases of those products and services where they were attracted as inquisitive prospects? So right from the prospect stage to the people landing on the website, to doing commercial transactions, checking out, and eventually becoming loyal customers. So this mechanism needs also to be analyzed in order to make the most out of these particular strategies. Okay, now we move on to another topic, which is developing resonating content. Now what we need to understand is the meaning of the word resonating. What do we basically mean by resonating? So resonating is nothing but a deep association which is felt by the online audience to the content that is being shared online through social media. And are they feeling a kind of a connect with what is being said about the brand, with their own personas, their own selves? So this is what is the meaning of resonating. So is the content creating a deep association or a connect with the audience on social media? This is the question that needs to be asked, and this is the kind of, these are set of strategies that we need to develop as we move along. So brands basically need to be alert and should always prepare content that connects, that resonates, that is in cognizance with the needs of their specific audiences. So if it's basically a set of young ladies who are more interested in peppy colors in cosmetics, and if pastels are being suggested, it would create a dent in the purchasing pattern. So they would move to another brand altogether in this particular context. So whatever content is being thrown, is being projected, should be to the liking of that audience in simple terms. In this context, there have been several studies, there have been several surveys, there have been several pieces of research that have been done, which suggests that the Facebook users, now this is centric to Facebook, they are more likely to know and interact with their virtual friends in real life than Twitter users. So this is an interesting find. So basis this, there can be a lot of strategies, a lot of marketing, you can say, approaches developed, and this information can be capitalized to sell more online. The trust factor helps boost traffic and drive sales. See, this is what I meant. So the recommendations would work a lot. So if a friend of yours recommends something strongly, you would rather check 5 less reviews and based on the recommendation go with the product. So this is the effect of having people as users who recommend you with the products and help you create an educated choice or a decision. Well, in the context of resonating, creating and developing this particular type of content that connects with audience, there are 3 very important things. There are 3 important types, okay, that are being used successfully by the prominent brands. So let me share with you these particular elements which prove useful. So if you are intending to create a campaign, if you're intending to use this information in your own organization, how would it help, or how would it be fruitful to you, is what we are discussing now. So let's set the context here. The first thing that you're going to do is the content in the written form. Very important. So where would the content in the written form, in the form of words, be used? What are certain places that this takes a prominence vis-a-vis the content that is in the visual form, vis-a-vis the content in the video form? So there are various forms, the various ways in which content is represented online. It can be through the use of words prominently. It can be through the use of vision. Visual is nothing but the images, the pictures that are represented, the infographics that are there, and content in the video form. So we are all aware of YouTube, we are all aware of Flickr, we are all aware of the videos that are inserted into our Facebook and WhatsApp. So this is content in the video form or the moving pictures. So let's move ahead and get, you know, more details on each one of these. So the foundation of most social media efforts is content, as we know, in the written form. So as you recollect, most of our posts, most of the reviews that we provide, most of the threads that we interact or we view are all in the written form. So this is the oldest form of content, yet it is still in prominence because words are used to express our thoughts, and online we can generate a lot of interactions using this particular written form. It's possible to optimize for either an audience using traditional computer based or even contemporary mobile based. So this is what I was hinting at when I said that it's been there since ages. So people probably who use their personal computers or their laptops, okay, it's useful for them, or the ones with the contemporary forms like a tablet, a mobile, a smartwatch, even for that matter. Everybody can ideally use content that is in the written form in some manner in conjunction with the other types. So this one is there to stay, and brands ideally need to use the power of words. So the correct words, the persuading words, the power of words needs to be constantly used if this content needs to be appropriate. The next type of content is the content in the visual form. By now we are well aware, because we see a lot of pictures in conjunction with the words, whether it's a Facebook, whether it's WhatsApp, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Flickr, whether it's any other mechanism that we're using as social media. So this particular content is presented in the visual form. As you can see in this presentation, as well as in the book, there are lots of pictures which say, you know, which actually bring life to those words. So it's very important that content is also represented in the visual form in conjunction, in cognizance with the verbal or with the form of words. So visual content, as we know, includes everything from the success of images on channels, as just mentioned, like Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook. Now here what happens is the boredom or the monotony of words is kind of cut down or reduced when we use content in the form of pictures. Just imagine if you are, you know, selling retail property, if like you are working for a builder's office and there is a nice retail property, a new project which is being proposed online for sale. Okay, so here a model of that particular building, or you know, a kind of image of that particular project breathes life to the words. So a person, when they see the picture, they immediately understand what this project is all about, how the rooms look, how is the external facade of the building, how, what kind of amenities are available. So it gives a breath of fresh air, and as I said, reduces the monotony in existing content. So if you see today, nowadays, the blogs are filled with images, they're filled with videos along with the verbal content. So this is done by adding a visual component that helps to explain the message in an absorbing manner or an absorbing fashion. So this is what I was referring to. In fact, if you notice, a lot of you know, the pages in the books, in this particular book, there are some very catchy images relevant to the content. Now what they do is they reduce your monotony while reading. They bring in some freshness. They make you think, they make you visualize, they make you go to that particular brand or whatever is being proposed. So here is a wonderful example of content in the visual form, if you were to see. And this is a class which is called as an infographic. If you notice over here, it's written infographic. Now this is an infographic which is related to the power of visual content. And it provides you a visual description of how visual content is truly effective and powerful. Let's take a look at it. Let's have a short description as we move along. So what it reads is, might have issues with clarity, but I will narrate this for you, which will prove helpful to you. The very first thing is, 40% of people respond better to visual information than plain text. I'm sure you are amongst those 40, or you would agree completely to that. Another piece of schematic or piece of information on this infographic says infographics can improve website traffic by a whopping 12%, which is a huge amount. So if information is presented in a catchy fashion in terms of numbers, in terms of visuals, information can be bought, it can, people can purchase from your site. Another piece in this infographic states 80% of what you see is retained. So this is the power of visual retention, visual information. We continue quickly in this. So conversions increase a whopping 86% when videos are used on a landing page. So we all know by now what a landing page ideally is. It's that page where the link takes you from that social media platform to the actual website. So that's what ideally is a landing page. The next part states 20% of words on a web page, they are read by the average user. So if you see, that's not a whopping percentage, that's a very low percentage. Okay, so only 20% of the words are read. Majorly what is observed are those wonderful pictures, those statistics, those schematics, those infographics, those videos. So if your website has to be effective in selling, in converting from a prospect to a person who's purchasing, it needs to have more of visual context. Last but not least, 40 times. So landing pages with videos are 40 times more shareable than those without visual content. So this is what research has found. This is contemporary research, and this has been encapsulated in a wonderful infographic that is being presented to you. So I'm sure you are equally encaptivated as I am understanding this particular visual statistic. And I'm sure if you are going in the process of designing a website, if you're in the process of designing content to be put onto any social media platform, these are certain elements that you will consider. So this is very crucial for you to consider as a marketer, or if you are as a consultant, you might also want to consider this information. So after this detailed discussion about visual content, let's look at another advanced form, which is content in the form of videos. So we are all aware now, videos majorly are synonymous with one content site, which is YouTube, which is quite famous, being a part, early part of, you know, Google. So content in the video form is extremely important. This type of format appeals to an audience that does not prefer specifically the written content. So there are people who are poor readers, they don't want to read online, they find it difficult. So videos are a way of keeping them and captivated, attracting them and retaining them on the site. So content in the form of videos now has become extremely popular and powerful, okay, because of the expert interviews, how-to videos, literally everything that you can, you know, desire, aspire is available as a video online. So there have been people who have learned various arts, they have gained certifications, they have subscribed to various things, they have learned various intricacies, even cooking for that matter, online. So there have been different courses, there have been specific certifications, professional in fact, where people have invested their time and effort to create channels and then earn out of those channels. So this is the power of the content in the video form. So what we've done now is we've had a very detailed look at this chapter, which was chapter 2, where we were trying to interlace, we were trying to create a connect between the type of content and the platforms that are responsible for hosting that content. In this particular chapter, we've had several important objectives resolved. I'm sure you might have now, you feel at ease when it comes to framing content for a specific type. We've seen the different strategies that are involved on a broad front. We've discussed them in detail. We've also gone about in a discussion about the types of platforms that need to be used. We've spoken about importance of Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and a few others. We've also, in the end, taken a look at what type of content, okay, needs to be used for which type of user specifically, whether it needs to be written, whether it needs to be visual, whether it needs to be video. So I'm sure we have now, you know, understood more about social media, and this clears our ground to move into the third chapter. Thank you.